Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of In Depth with Stephen Strang. I try to probe and get to the bottom of the story, to pull out answers that will give my readers and my listeners insight into people who are significant. I ask them about how they got saved, how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how they met their spouses. I try to dig down and get them to talk about things that are important, their successes, their failures, because even though these people are well known, even though they have their own media platforms, they don't often have an opportunity to talk about this side of their life. So I'm inviting you to tune in, to download, to listen, and to share In Depth with Stephen Strang. There's a war to destroy Christian America. And today on In Depth with Stephen Strang, I'm talking to an expert, someone you might not expect from me to interview. He's an American Jew who has keen insight into what's happening in America, and he's written a best-selling book called Dark Agenda, which I highly recommend. I am not quite through the whole book, but I have enjoyed every single word, and I intend to finish it. So my guest today is David Horowitz. So first of all, let me just tell you, welcome, and how honored I am that you would take time to be on my podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm excited that your book is doing so well. Your publisher told me today how well it's doing, and of course, I checked it out on Amazon because I think this is such an important message. And, you know, we can expect Christian writers to write about this, and there are some who do a pretty good job of beating their chest, you know, and bemoaning everything that's going on. But it's unusual for an American Jew, at least in my opinion, to write a book like this. So let me ask you why you wrote the book.
Well, actually, I was asked by the publisher, Chris Ruddy. He thought it'd be a good idea for a Jew, and I'm also an agnostic, which makes me a real outsider and a former radical. So I understand what these attacks are about, and I think it's a unique witness to the virtues of Christianity and why it's under such attack from the anti-American left. The subtitle is The War to Destroy Christian America. And the idea there that I became open to after I had left the left was that every virtue that we hold dear as Americans, every principle, every value, equality, inclusion, tolerance, pluralism, these are all Christian ideas. They originated with Protestant Christians. And the more you learn about this religious history, the more you realize that America could only have been created by Protestant Christians. Before the Reformation, you could only get to heaven by going through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. It was the kind of official church. It descended from Jesus. But what the Reformers realized, or by then it was obvious, was that a church is a human institution and therefore corruptible by corrupt human beings. And such was the Catholic Church. So the Protestant Reformation, the key really concept of it, was the priesthood of all believers. The idea that every individual faces his or her maker one-on-one without the intervention of a church or a religion or a priesthood. Well, that is a very radical idea because the priesthood of all believers means everybody is on them. Same level in relation to God, and that includes black slaves. Slavery is not our original sin. We inherited slavery from the British, but what we did was to write, and this is, of course, Jefferson, to write into our birth certificate the proposition, one, that all men are created equal, and two, that all men have an equal right to liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but liberty. And that's why immediately the northern states began freeing their slaves. Of course, there was a huge plantation economy in the South. And if the North had just, well, it took a civil war and 350,000, mainly white, mainly Christian lives, to end slavery. But Americans can be very proud of their record with slavery. We ended it within a generation. And of course, today's incredibly shallow people on the left think all you do is snap your fingers and show how moral you are, and you can end an institution that's been around for 3,000 years without ever having the kind of earthquake that America produced in it.
In fact, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, so much so that you commemorated, you know, the freeing every single year with Passover. And I haven't done the arithmetic, but I think that the Jews were slaves longer than the blacks were slaves in our country,
well,
weren't they?
Well, slavery existed in all countries for 3,000 years. Everybody in the world, if they traced their ancestry far back enough, was a slave, because descended from slaves. I mean, America was a truly revolutionary, I don't like the word experiment, adventure, if you will. And these ideas are all under attack by the left. The left doesn't believe in pluralism. It doesn't believe in tolerance. It's very hateful. My book, though, Dark Agenda, shows how the Supreme Court, which when you think about it, is 9 lawyers appointed for life by politicians. Now, how could that go wrong? Decided in 1962 to end a 170-year institution of prayer in the schools. So much for stare decisis and precedence. Just wiped it out. It was a non-denominational prayer that they objected to. And they did it by misinterpreting the Establishment Clause, which is a part of the First Amendment, which says that the government shall not establish a church. And that's because 98% of the people who created this country were Protestant Christians, and they were fleeing religious persecution from established churches. But saying a prayer, and the prayer went something like, God Almighty, thank you for protecting us and our parents and our country. It's 23 words. That doesn't establish a church. But the left is completely unprincipled. It has agendas. It's got this fantasy that it's going to change the whole world. So it's not bothered by these things like truth.
Well, how did this get rooted in our country? Because you're right. America has been a religious nation.
Oh, because what was the president's reaction? Kennedy was president. When that decision came down, the president said, okay, we'll pray at home. Just surrendered the field of battle. And this is a trope among conservatives, generally. You walk away from it. The schools are now communist indoctrination centers, which is what they are, and racist to boot. You homeschool your kids. The left would take the battle right to the enemy camp.
So what can Christians do, what can Americans do to combat this?
Well, Christians have to deal with this issue of turning the other cheek. You know, Jesus also said, I bring not peace but a sword. You have to fight at some point. And thankfully, the evangelical Christians did fight. And they elected first Ronald Reagan and then Donald Trump. And the religious right, I describe its creation in my book, Dark Agenda. It came in the wake of Roe v. Wade, which was a horrific decision. It had nothing to do with the Constitution. It was based on an invented right to privacy. There's nothing private about abortion. It involves a woman, a doctor, and the unmentionable, the unborn child. But anyway, they rolled over the whole country. I mean, overnight, it's the same thing with the marriage issue, the gay marriage. I don't happen to be against gay marriage, but I don't like that it was decided by one vote to end a 3,000-year-old institution or 5,000 years, whatever marriage was, and just redefine it. That's a prescription for civil war, and that's what we have in this country. The only reason there's not an actual war with guns blazing is because the federal government is too powerful. So it becomes a war over the presidency, and you can see the Democratic Party has lost its collective mind, reckless, subversive, seditious accusations, calling the president a Russian agent, which is an incredible lie. No evidence to back it up, but even so, I mean, it's such a serious charge. They just throw it around. They have a friendly special prosecutor who spends 2 years and $40 million and can't establish that there was any collusion between the Russians and Trump, and they're still pursuing it. And that's because the country now, we're in this state just like 1860. 1860 is the last time when a president was duly elected, and he was elected. Lincoln, of course, was in the minority. They had the biggest plurality of the minorities, but something like four parties. They created a rebellion. And what is the resistance that Schumer and Pelosi championed? The sabotage for 2 years of everything that Trump has tried to do. No credit given where credit is due, and just blatant obstructionism to everything else. And the reason is there are two incompatible value systems. One is based on these Christian ideas. Of course, the fact that the country was created by Protestant Christians is the reason why we have a secular government, because they did not believe in established churches that anybody had a monopoly of the truth. I mean, how American is that idea? But they believed in pluralism. Whereas the left has these identity politics, which are racist. It believes that you're guilty. If you're a white Christian male, you're guilty before the facts are in. And if you're a black female Muslim, you're innocent, even if the facts show that you're guilty. That's where the Democratic Party is today. It's just unrestrained in its smears of anybody who disagrees with it. Do you think that America should have borders like every other country in the world, and that we should vet people coming in so they don't bring tuberculosis or criminal mindsets and agendas, or they're not sex traffickers? If you believe that simple idea of a border, you're a racist. And every Democrat says it. It's not like there's dissenters. So we are in a civil war situation as a result. And let me just say that the reason they hate Christianity, and it's also Judaism, that the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is rooted in the Old and New Testaments, for the Jews, just the Old Testament, begins in the Garden of Eden, which is, better than the Green New Deal. It's paradise. You didn't die, and so forth and so on. Fruit fell from the trees. But the condition of living in paradise is not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's a metaphor for human beings are capable of incredible evil. You just have to turn on your ID Discovery shows. Actually, almost every channel has these crime shows, which show what monsters human beings can be. And that creates for Christians a skepticism about plans to spend $100 trillion and rearrange the whole world in a 10-year period, which is what the Democrats are proposing and what the Bolsheviks proposed in Russia and why they killed so many people. The left thinks that people are good and society makes them bad. Society is a fiction. It's just collectively who we are. Christians believe in the sanctity of life. And I never thought I'd live to see the day that New York Democrats would make it legal to kill a baby after it's born. But so they have. And that shows you to what depths people can sink whom you would have cocktails with. Just monstrous. Christians also believe in free will, which means you are accountable for what you do. Leftists, they believe in the accountability of races and genders. Completely abstract. They're just abstractions they can manipulate to persecute people who oppose them. And that's what we're seeing in this country. So my book is Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. It's really about where we are as a country.
Let's talk about the future, because things are serious. They seem to be getting worse in a lot of ways. We could discuss this, but we probably don't need to, that Donald Trump has at least slowed it down. But there's an election coming up. What do you think is going to happen in the election, and what do you think is going to happen in our culture on this war that you describe against Christian America?
Well, a lot depends on whether Trump is reelected. I'm appalled. I'm a person who, I think most conservatives are like this. I can live with people who disagree with me. I can be civil towards them. I understand that there are often two sides, mainly two or three or ten sides to a question. I like to hear both sides. I don't think it's a great idea to demonize your enemies. You know, when I say the Democratic Party is a racist party, it's just what I see. You know, they control every inner city in America of size. So every killing field, Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, St. Louis, they've all been controlled by the Democrats 100% for 50 to 100 years. Everything that's, every injustice in the inner city, Democrats are responsible for. Republicans are just too lame and polite to point it out. I mean, how do you deal with people who call you a Russian agent when there's no evidence whatsoever, except their fantasies? They like to twist words. This week, Stephanopoulos goes in and asks Trump if he would take information from a foreign power and give it to the FBI. And he said, well, you know, if Norway gave me information about an opponent, I would like to see it, but I turn it over to the FBI. This becomes an act of high treason when Democrats talk about it. I mean, they're good with words. They twist them and stomp on them. But in any case, we have an existential battle in this country. Either we respect due process, Democrats. There wasn't one Democrat who stood up when they dragged this woman who wanted to testify in secret against him. This is what they did in the Middle Ages. And who lied. For example, she said, I'm big lies. I can't testify with her initial position because I'm afraid of flying, which she admitted then was a complete lie. She flew all over the South Pacific water skiing. There was such intimidation in the attacks on Kavanaugh when they shredded his reputation over what an incident at a party where alcohol was present when these two, well, I don't believe they ever took place, but allegedly were together as high schoolers. I should never, never, never have been part of a public hearing. What was it, 34 years ago? I mean, this is what they do in police states.
Well, their goal must have been just to have demoralized him so much that he would have withdrawn his name, or that Trump would have decided...
Well, I think any other president but besides Trump who has spine would have thrown him under the bus.
Right, and they would have been rid of him either way. Thank God Trump was strong, and thank God Kavanaugh was strong, too. But, you know, I'm so enjoying hearing what you have to say, and I hate to interject my own opinion, except that there's such hypocrisy. They throw this stuff at Trump and ignore the fact that the Democrats paid people in Russia for dirt on Trump, and then...
Look, Hillary Clinton is a criminal and a traitor. She violated the Espionage Act. After the Congress demanded her emails, she deleted 33,000. That's direct. I mean, there was a crime. The crime is violation of the Espionage Act. What did he give, a million documents? And the Democrats are just out of control. I have no respect for Democrats these days. I think Ron Williams is a really decent human being, but he's completely out to lunch politically. I mean, he got on his high horse about the Norway. I'll give some information to Norway, like it was a nuclear threat to the United States. I mean, it's unbelievable the way they're reacting.
Well, I agree with you. And you described yourself earlier as an agnostic and a former radical. What caused your eyes to be open? And
well, when you think about it, when I left the left, I left the left because I saw how destructive it was. It defended murderers like the Black Panther Party who murdered my friend. It supported communists in Vietnam, and when the communists pretending to care about Vietnamese, and when the communists proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million Indochinese peasants, there were no protests. So I saw it was an evil movement, the left. And then I had to re-examine what I thought about America, because we had set out to take it apart. The first thing that occurred to me was this. You know, we all cherish our inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, correct? How do you get it right if there's no God? You can't. If government gives the rights, then government can take them away. So then the next problem I had once I realized that was, as an agnostic, I didn't believe in God. I did not believe in him. I just don't know. So I said to myself, well, to have a country like the United States built on this principle of inalienable rights, you have to respect the idea of God, and you have to respect people who believe in God. And obviously, not every believer is somebody you respect, but the general respect for religious people, which is so absent in this country today, you have to have that. And then, you know, when I began looking at the Protestant Reformation and the founding, you know, I could see how integrally American ideas, all the ideas, are Protestant ideas. That's where they originated. That's very important. That's why the religious liberty is the First Amendment. It's the basis of every other liberty that we have. If you can't have the freedom to form your opinions, your own opinions, and the freedom to defend them, speech, for example, guns is another, you can't have any freedoms because you can't defend them. And we see what the left's, the main assault of the left, first of all, it's on free speech. Our college campuses are a disgrace. Not only are they one-party states where if they allow you to visit as a conservative, they don't allow you to speak, or they turn your speech into a circus. And then all these administrators make this possible. I mean, they are enablers of a fascist left on our campuses, on our faculties. The Democratic Party is not defending free speech, and it's not going to defend, obviously, the Second Amendment either. I mean, you're in your home at night. What do you got to protect yourself unless you're wealthy or a politician? You got what you can reach for in your night table drawer. That's what you got.
You're right about that. And I just think it's so refreshing to hear what you have to say. And of course, I want to encourage my listeners and those who will read my newsletter to read more that you've written, especially Dark Agenda. And it's just a very, very eye-opening book. And I want to thank you for writing it. We have never met, so you don't know that I'm a strong supporter of Israel. And I have, you know, interacted a lot with the Jewish community, found that most of them are liberal. Most of them don't even know how to react to evangelicals who support Israel, and often won't take up the cause of Christians who are persecuted because they have an attitude, even if it's unstated, that, you know, Christians kind of deserve it because, after all they want to do is convert the Jews. And that's about as deeply as they think about it. And so I was rather surprised. You are more perceptive, in my opinion, about what's going on than about 95% of the Christian leaders who I know. And I just thank you for speaking out. I also just wanted to say one more thing. You mentioned that these values we have in America are from Christian Protestantism, and no doubt they are. But Christianity and Protestantism are an outgrowth of Judaism. In fact, Christianity was a Jewish sect for the first 200 years, and all of the principles in the New Testament come from the Old Testament.
Well, yes, there is a Judeo-Christian tradition. There weren't enough Jews to found, 98% of the settlers were Protestants. 2% were Catholics. There were some Jews, no question, but just in terms of what historically moved and framed this country. I'm sure if I was more of a constitutional scholar, I'd know more of the Jewish influence. But I think we're in very bad shape these days, when you mention Israel. I mean, our campuses are support groups for terrorists, and our administrators are completely complicit. Students for Justice in Palestine is a Nazi sect. It was created by Hamas. It's funded by Hamas. It's directed by Hamas, which even the State Department designates as a terrorist group. It's a group that's sworn to exterminate the Jews in so many words. If that isn't what Nazis are, I don't know. And yet every campus, every major campus in America, top 200, fund Students for Justice in Palestine. The whole left is locked into them. So it's just appalling what's happened, and it's very dangerous for the country. We have a terrorist anti-Semitic caucus in the Congress led by Omar and Tlaib and Cortez, and, you know, with the collusion of the Democratic Party. So I know I'm sounding a little like a Cassandra, but I'm hoping that people will wake up before it's too late.
Well, that's my last question as we wrap this up, is you mentioned that your eyes were opened. I was a Democrat for 20 years and finally just decided that I couldn't even vote for a Democrat anymore. Are other people's eyes being open, or do you think that the lines are drawn?
Oh, I think there's a lot of movement in this country. You know, on bad days, I think we're going down the tubes, but on good days, I think Americans, you know, have a lot of common sense. And there are all kinds of signs of it. We'll just see what happens. Unfortunately, the left has a stranglehold on our school systems. And that's where this is all coming from. That's where they get indoctrinated. But, you know, look, I always give this example. In April 1941, Hitler had overrun all of Europe except Britain. The Japanese had run all over Southeast Asia, Manchuria, the Philippines, so forth. And Gallup did a poll. I think Russia was attacked in June 41. But Gallup took a poll. And the poll asked, should the United States get involved in the war? And of course, the Nazis were denouncing America all over the place. Should America get involved in the Second World War? 80% of the people said no. Whatever it is, 7 months, 8 months later, you had Pearl Harbor. And the whole country mobilized and crushed the Japanese and the Germans.
Well, we're going to need to leave it there. We could probably talk about this a lot
longer. Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you for being here. And I'd like to just encourage people to read Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America by David Horowitz. And thank you to my listeners for listening today to what I believe is one of the most interesting interviews I've had in a long time. God bless you. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.